Hello and welcome to episode 21 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
Britt Monroe.
James Ross.
And what character are you playing?
Sir Bertrand Bertie McGuffingham, Hitter of Things.
Sasha Racket, Grabber Onto and Rider of Things.
Zol Smith, Cleric, Prayer of Water.
Hamid, the Halfling Sorcerer, currently very embarrassed by his friend.
Oh, it's all very awkward. So we left you...
Dancing in the street.
Literally dancing in the street.
The word, have you seen the video for that?
So that's basically what you guys have been doing, putting full plate armour with one leg.
I will show you the video of that. It is the least convincing bisexuality you have ever seen.
Listeners, so your homework is to pull up the video for dancing in the street, but imagine them in full plate armour and with one leg, and in one of them is a cringing halfling.
See, now I had big news, and I can't top dancing in the street. What am I going to do?
So the big news anyway.
Go away and make it more impressive and then come back.
So we've actually hired both of them to come now. So we are actually in the process of developing two new podcasts.
Yay!
Yeah, yeah. And it's all off the back of basically all of the people that we've been thanking, because you were great and it meant that we could grow, and that's what we're doing. So I can't say any more because of that's the way things roll, but I just thought you'd want to know.
Secret
wow,
podcast.
What a teaser.
I know. Yeah. So what I can say is one of them is going to be based in the TV and film category of iTunes, and one of them is a horror-based bit of a podcast. I won't go into more than that, but yeah, something to be...
That one's the Bertie spin-off.
Bertie the Human Statue! So... where we left off, you guys had hit up Beaming Gusset and got a bit more info regarding the metal, specifically finding out that it's a Damascus adamantine piece. You also hit up, in no particular order, the British Museum, which is where you, after a bit of faffing with some lawyers and skeletons, not the same things, you managed to find out that, the origami is almost certainly from Japan. Couldn't get more specific than that, which is fair enough. Went to the Tahan branch.
We picked up a package to take. To
no,
the,
yeah, you picked
up. Package to take to Paris.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and there was the worries that it was some post Paris peril.
Yeah, with the potential post Paris peril.
That's the one. So after
contained scenes of mild Paris.
So after that, you then hit up the Tahan branch and stumbled into an old friend, by which I mean an incompetent enemy.
Who lasted all of about a quarter of a session.
Well, I'm going to be honest, would you have expected any more from him, really?
No.
But it did provide a useful distraction so that you could find out that, the keys definitely can be traced to Cairo, and you weren't expecting to hand it in because you bamboozled everyone.
Yeah, with my wonderful charisma.
And with a sad little... once birthday gift for Hamid released, you've stumbled out into the street, and what I'll do...
just reminded me how much I've disappointed my parents.
Yeah.
What?
We'll skip ahead. We'll say that you guys
got
some food and
them
slept off your various problems as far as you could and have reconvened the next day.
Thought safe for hangover?
Brutal will be gradually regenerating hit points.
Brutal will be regenerating hit
Does
points.
That mean...
Go on, give me a roll for hangover.
I roll a 25 for hangover.
We'll say that that means that you're having not much of a hangover rather than the most
powerful
hangover
imaginable. That's the full save against the
hangover. Do I heal overnight?
You regain your level in hit points.
Excellent.
If you have dedicated care, I mean round the clock care,
I only lost
you
one.
Can regain double your hit points.
Cool.
And obviously there's healing, which Zolf could have burnt through before he reset for the day.
He was too drunk.
I was far too drunk.
And I bruised my shins. I think that I can deal with that overnight.
Okay, well then, what next? You guys have reconvened? Maybe over a hearty breakfast where Zolf is looking not so bad as he could have done. Let's say in a tavern, you're having a tavern breakfast.
So the one thing we said we had left before we go to Paris is the seed, and we said we might go to
Kew Gardens.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd love a jaunt out to the country.
They do a lot of horticulture down there, so they might know a bit more about it.
Yeah.
Never been there. I mean, there's not many buildings around it sounds like a garden
that's why it's called Kew Garden.
That's fine, that's not a few miles
away, so we'll probably need a cab, unless anyone can drive a carriage.
Well, very nearly. No, I nearly bought one yesterday, but no.
Smash cut to Bertie having a whale of a time driving a carriage that you've all already rented and you're well on the way to Kew Gardens.
Whee! Bruto, is it still in his papoose with his tongue just lolling out, dribbling spittle behind us? This has got this sort of slipstream of dribble coming out behind the carriage.
Inside the carousel.
He's not actually half bad at this.
How far away from London are we going? I mean, there seems to be some space in between the buildings.
You're going to get the not-a-city sweats.
Do you think? I mean, it just feels like a bit of a waste. There's so much space. There could be things there, you know? There could be alleys.
Sasha?
Yep.
You know you wanted to get out of London.
Yep, it's
fine. You
know
most of the world isn't a city.
Fine. I know.
Just wait till we get to Cairo. I'll show you the desert. That's
just wait till we...
Wait till we get to the sea, where it's all flat.
Okay, guys, all right.
The sea's not very flat, it's sort of up and down.
Dune's in the desert.
What? So it sort of moves.
Good point.
You mean it moves? Okay, I knew that it moved. I want to see these things, it's fine.
You'll be fine. It's
totally
fine.
It's
not as bad as it sounds.
I look up.
Except for the heat.
Right.
Yeah, and the death.
And you pull into Kew Garden, pulling up to the...
Bertie does a very impressive reverse three-point turn, just showing off.
In a carriage. That's impressive. That's really impressive.
That is impressive.
give me a handle animal to pull off a three-point turn with a carriage.
Pomp and pageantry.
Attempting the three-point turn in the first place automatically triggers it.
12 plus handle animal 6 plus pomp and pageantry, that's 19.
19. You don't make a meal of it, but neither is it the most flawless thing ever. There is lots of, oh, what a space! How would someone fit into this space? Ha ha ha! Just with a
quite
little...
adequately is the answer to that question.
So yeah, you pull up to the Meritocratic Botanical Gardens. There's a few people. Obviously, there's no one particularly hard up who's having a wander around here. But you're in a fairly green area. There's sort of lush parkland to the left and right of you. A little bit more open space behind you, and the large buildings of the Botanical Gardens with some huge greenhouses off to the left-hand side, the right-hand side being a more solid brick affair. It looks like it's a converted manor house or something similar. And yeah, that's where you are, and up the steps you see a face you recognise. Give me perception rolls.
Who could it be?
I don't know.
9.
21.
18.
16.
Hammond and Sasha, you recognise a certain person in a white coat which he insists on wearing all the time. Colgate.
Oh, it's red and blue stripes.
You see Colgate going up the steps.
Oh, Bertie, it's your friend Colgate.
Oh, Colgate. I only just noticed that there is in fact a garden. Colgate!
Oh, Sir Bertrand. Yes, do come.
Oh, yeah, love to see you, blah, blah, blah.
I, for as long as possible, keep my back to the vehicle and sort of look around, scouting about, and then sort of run almost Naruto style, like up to the group and sort of, and then trying desperately to keep my back to a surface. Bertie's the biggest surface.
You put my jacket over your head if it makes you feel more comfortable.
Thanks, Alf. You're a real star, you are. Oh. Real help.
Good to see all of you. What are you doing here then today?
Well, Colgate, well, we found this fascinating thing, and we were hoping to consult your quite substantial wisdom on the matter. You are a noted expert in the field, so I thought, wave it under your nose, let you have a sniff, sniff the biscuit. I mean, it's not a biscuit.
We're here for
a
horticultural consultation.
Horticultural consultation, and we thought, who might we consult on horticultural
matters? Of course, and you concluded Mendel, yes?
Yes, Mendel, of course, yes. That was
Give
awesome.
Me a bluff check.
Yeah. To 11 total.
He's not a stupid man. No. Yes, quite. So, yes, I'm actually going to see Gregor myself. Anyone else you all here for the same reason?
Yep. Yeah.
We're still a team, just like we were.
Excellent. It was good to see you again, Zoff. By the way, you did some good work.
Oh, it's no problem. How's Byron doing?
He's all right. He's taking European Constitutional.
Right.
What's funny?
Oh, well, you know, when Byron takes a European constitutional,
right,
doing bunny ears, European constitutional, it means he's taking some opium.
Okay.
Near some opium.
Right.
Basically.
Is he going to take that nearby opium after he's taken the current opium?
Opium is very much a route to further opium when it comes to Byron. Basically, if there's a sentence describing what Byron is up to, if you substitute all of the verbs and nouns in it for the word opium... You're probably right.
I'm going to be honest. He keeps insisting they have medicinal properties, but I have to be quite frank. They don't. They really, really don't. Honestly, they don't.
Just don't.
Just stay clear.
He's not dead yet. To be fair, opium is an excellent cure for not having any opium.
Yes,
but that's about
that
it.
Well, I'm heading in if anyone cares to join me.
Delighted.
Why not?
Sasha looks at a tree curiously.
It's a palm tree.
Yeah, it looks all squished.
Well,
the leaves are flat. Is that supposed to be how it is?
I'll give you a brief tour.
Did it get folded?
Leaves are usually flat.
It's like all...
As you're having this discussion, Colgate sort of moves you in and then sort of has a look around. He seems to know what he's doing. The person behind the desk gives a nod and gestures, and Colgate starts moving through the greenhouse.
Oh, a tour?
Yeah, the door opens and heat and steam wafts out over you. A lot of heat and a lot of steam. And you notice that some of the plants seem to be a bit wilty, like overheat.
I don't notice.
No, well, you know, I'm chucking this in for people who've seen plants before.
There are some green things, some of the green things are still green.
And yeah, walking through, Colgate's going down. Borealis extremis, Borealis or gigantus, blah, blah, blah. And he's just heading through, pointing out all these various plants. Interestingly here, that one has an incredibly potent contact poison, but it only causes hair loss. Who'd have known? And he's just sort of heading through, pointing out the various things. And then at the end of the double doors, there's another thing he steps through and heads into a much more darkened one. Here we have the vivarium, very interesting. Lots of animals, things like that. Here we go. Like this, Arachnus gigantus. He knocks on the door, at which point this spider...
Oh, that was an amazing sound. Oh.
See, no edits, I don't need them. A spider as tall as Bertie just goes straight up to the glass. Right up, and it's just sort of clitters up at the glass.
Bertie turns to Sasha and goes, "That's Latin for giant spider."
Sasha is not there anymore. She is another few meters back.
Oh yes, they got a colony in, a breeding colony. Who'd have thought?
Wait. Like, so I thought that there would be stuff when I left London, but this is basically in London. Like, I'm not sure if. Like whether to run away or to stay at home.
Oh gosh, I mean, it wouldn't make a difference. They've got a land speed of 60 feet, some of them. It's astonishing.
So where do these things usually come from?
Oh, well, you know, they get shipments all over the world. They tend to get them shipped in, and then they'll try to breed where possible, and they'll try to distribute them for research purposes.
Right.
I don't think that they should distribute spiders.
Oh, well, I wouldn't worry. I mean, this is a resident population. Ooh, you'll like this one, he points at the glass. And now this violet fungus, fascinating thing. Probably kill every single one of us if we went for the glass. Oh. And you just see this horrible, man-sized fungus, very furry underneath, bright, bright violet. And these just sort of trendles sort of moving across the ground, and they kind of creep up across the glass and then back down to the ground again. Fascinating creature. Really, really interesting.
Right, so I'm just going to say this now. Let's not have a repeat of the British Museum. Okay? No smashing glass.
Sorry, what?
What?
Nothing. There's no things happened.
There was some mild restructuring in the...
Oh, look! A distraction!
Oh, yes, there
it
is.
Oh, God, that is very interesting, actually. You know the poison of this one. And, yeah, he goes off one. Anyway, he leads you through the vivarium.
As he walks on, he's got a burger.
I can't believe that. You walk past the last one, and he taps it, and he goes, "Now, this is interesting. Oh, well, that's all right."
Oh, no.
He looks at... And there appear to be 6 or 7 dead lizards on the base of it. That's not right at all.
Wait, is something bigger than those lizards killed the lizards?
No. I mean, these are sealed units. He carries on, and then he heads to the double doors, and there's another desk. And there's a young black man just behind the desk, and he's sort of scribbling away, and he goes, I'm here to see Dr. Mendel. Is he in? The man behind the desk gives a proper start. Oh, no, he's not in. He's out. Seems unlikely. I've got an appointment with him. Actually, brought some people he might like to meet. Actually, he's out.
Out where?
Oh, he's on a research trip. That's where he is. Mm-hmm. But it's in the city. I'm sure he'll be back soon.
Has anybody told you that you're a terrible liar?
Excuse me?
Hmm?
Hmm?
What?
What?
Percy leans in and goes, Well now, young man, and this is going to be an attempt at an intimidate check with pump and pageantry.
Now then, young man, is like your opening the intimidation check.
Roll it, then play it.
Roll it, then play it. One day you're going to fail these and I'm going to chew you up and spit you out, Bertie.
Okay, so plus one, pump and pageantry, blah, blah, blah. That's 13 plus 7 is 20. Now then, young man, now you're clearly very pleased with your job.
Mm. Oh God, yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
Very, I think Bertie presses his fingers, his big armoured finger to the lips of the man. Very pleased with your job.
I have to say, actually.
And it'd be a real shame if anything were to happen to that job. Perhaps if very important guests of Dr. Mendel were to be delayed in any way from seeing Dr. Mendel.
I feel like you might be barking up the wrong tree a bit. I appreciate it. Also, incidentally, there's a peanut oil that we which we are able to synthesize here, which would sort that squeak out something special. But yeah, he's definitely not here. I don't know what to say. I'm sure he'll be back soon.
Do you have someone to wait?
Oh, you wouldn't want to wait on site. I mean, yeah, he could be back soon, but he might not be back soon. But he probably. Will be
you know, room. I think I am going to wait. And then Bertie sits down on the desk and makes direct eye contact with him, like about 3 inches from his face.
Dr. Colgate, didn't you say you were here to pick up a medicinal preparation that Dr. Mendel made for you? I'm sure he probably just left it on his desk. We'll just go in and get it.
Yeah. Yes, I agree quite, yes. He wouldn't mind, it's me, he knows me. He just heads straight up and then starts heading up the stairs and
I'll follow Colgate.
Yeah, the bloke's already running upstairs. No, you don't want to do that. Honestly, it's fine. He's just not in. I'm telling you, he's not in.
When he gets up to run after them, can I just poke out my trident and try and trip him up?
Yeah, sure. So he's like, oh no, you don't want to, oh, ah! He just plants and then Colgate just ignoring it, striding. Head straight in. Mendel, I don't... No one in there. Very standard office. It's quite small, actually, comparatively. A lot of books on the wall. Single desk.
I'm going to go in and start having a look around and see if we can find in the office any reference to a meeting in London or something like
sure,
that.
Sure, the guy at the front desk runs up and goes, look, hey, guys, you can't be in here, okay? I'm telling you...
I'm going to cast Charm Person on this dude.
Go for it.
Will save.
What's the DC?
14...
He makes it. Guys, listen.
A spell that is yet to work.
Look, guys, I'm sorry, okay? But please, you can't be in here. I mean, honestly.
Why not?
Because it's his office, okay?
Where is he?
I don't know.
Right, that's it. Try it out. Point at him. Start walking towards him.
Look, he's on site. I know he's on site. He has to be on site, but he's gone, okay? And there's not a lot we can do. Just, I don't know why you're doing this.
Are you saying that one of the things has eaten him? Did the spiders eat him?
What do you mean by gone? Hmm?
Colgate sort of leans across and just goes, why exactly are the thermostats in the tanks more than 15% higher than optimal? We've lost control of the boilers. I don't know what to say. We can't tell anyone. We were told before he went that we couldn't tell anyone.
Ah, well, we are... The Rangers. We are a travelling mercenary company who just kind of wander around sorting people's problems out. So why don't you tell us?
Yeah, we're working on a better name.
Right.
But why don't you tell us what's the problem? We'll go sort it out and then we'll be able to sort out payment afterwards. Or you can sit in your desk and let all the horrible, dangerous beasties get too hot and maybe escape and kill you.
Oh, they won't really escape, they just die, but...
Okay. Do you think you would keep your job if they all died?
At which point Colgate sort of reaches out. Paul, there's a lot of alcohol in this podcast. We need to get you out of urban areas and into somewhere nice and rustic.
Because it's Victorian-esque London,
that's
where everyone is drunk all the time.
Or on opium, apparently. Yeah, he pulls a tonic for the guy, and Colgate just planks on the desk and says, look, George, just sit down, calm down, tell me what's up. Well, a couple of people went missing in the sublevels. Dr. Friedrich, and then Mason didn't turn up. And so eventually we had to send someone down to, you know, check up and basically, and Mendel, he went down and told us not to tell anyone because, you know, there's a reputation to maintain. He hasn't come back and it's, we've heard a couple of screams and I don't know what to do.
Right, well, guess we'll head down there and find out.
Sounds like our kind of party.
And so our brave hero sallied forth down to the lower levels, the deep, dark, mysterious dungeons.
It's not so much a dungeon as a basic storage and research depot.
And the deep, dark, mysterious storage and research depot. Ooh.
Pretty much that. Shall we go?
Right, yeah. Are the boilers down there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say, though. I really can't advise this. I'm forbidden from notifying the police until he came back. I mean, he's explicitly stated that no one should follow.
We are not the police.
That doesn't make things better. That makes things...
That's fine. If we die, it's on us.
Yeah. We dealt with 4 skeletons before breakfast yesterday.
And then we had breakfast.
Yeah, then we had breakfast.
Before lunch, we had breakfast.
Brunch.
You're right.
Yeah, okay,
we deal with skeletons before lunch.
Yeah.
And then we had lunch.
Dr. Colgate, do you have any idea who these people are? Oh, yes, they're fine. They actually helped with the medicine affair. They'll be fine. Oh, okay.
You didn't see the papers? We were in them.
Those two were.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh. Yeah, no, you should not be here. We do not want the papers here.
Well, there's no need for that. We'll just go and sort it out and we'll be discreet.
Okay,
got any directions?
Right, okay. He gets up and starts heading back down the stairs. And
also, like, any idea what's down there? Like, is it one of your spiders?
As he's walking through, he starts leading you back, basically, to the vivarium. So, what we do is we take shipments, and they actually come through here. You'll notice that the walkways are very wide. It helps for the movement of crates and so on. We take animals, and we take plants downstairs. We do some basic testing to determine if they're dangerous or not, things like that. Then we can put them into storage, long-term or short-term, and then we bring them up here. Basically, everything that's gone down in the last about 4 days hasn't come back up. Not a sound, nothing, no alarms raised or anything, and then we started hearing screams this morning. There's the freight elevator here. He sort of heads down a staff-only big freight elevator and opens it up. Dr. Mendel took one of the security guys with him, and neither of them came back. I can't condone this.
We'll find them, don't worry.
And what happens when you don't?
Yeah, well, like, no one will miss us for a while. You'll probably be in the clear. Do any of your mates know that you're going down here?
Nope, you never saw us.
No. One question, though. Now, Colgate, you noticed that there were a load of dead lizards in the bottom of one apparently empty vivarium. Now,
yes.
What was the creature that was in that?
Lizards. That's what I'm saying.
Just because every other tank has been some sort of terrifyingly deadly creature, so...
Not everything's terrifying. Interestingly, though, those lizards are actually incredibly poisonous when consumed, but I don't know why you'd want to do that. No, it's just, well, if the vivarium's running hot, I mean... Can you feel it in here? It is incredibly, like, incredibly warm and sweltering in there.
I just assumed that was greenhouse.
Not like this, goodness me. As it is, I'm surprised it hasn't burnt out.
So what was the last creature that was transported to the lower levels?
I have no idea. Dr. Friedrich, he likes a lot of privacy when he's working. We did get a shipment. It was something big. Nothing. As far as I was aware, there was no animals. Nothing like that. Nothing mobile. It was meant to be a plant.
So no markers, no indication of where the package was from?
We get a lot of plans sent here that people don't know what they are, and they bring them here so that we can identify them. I don't know what you want from me. They brought a big crate. The big crate went down.
We'll go down there. We'll just be ready for anything, guys. It's going to be fine.
It's been days. I mean, we only noticed people were missing like 2 days ago, so I have no idea.
Well, we'll get on it.
There's a fire escape at the far end, but it only opens from the inside. It's a security measure. If you're in trouble, I suppose, head to that. It's at the far end of the long-term storage.
Okay.
Wait, do you have, like, a map?
Not really. There's maps down there for, like, fire safety.
That's fine.
Let's just
go.
Head down.
Right. Okay. Hey, we didn't expect skeletons to come out of that vase, but we dealt with that, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
This time we are expecting horrible, horrific monsters that produce screams and missing people.
Precisely.
So if anything, we're ahead of the game.
Exactly. Going down.
I get out my crossbow and load it.
I unsheathe my sword.
I spring load my daggers.
Sure. The doors close, and I'll take a break there, and we'll come back in a couple of minutes.
Hey.
Hello? Oh, I sit there. And talking to this? This... Right. Good. That is odd. Yes. And you, bring me a whiskey. With a rum in it. Yeah, lovely.
Yes, so, good evening, peasants. I am Sir Bertrand McGuffingham. Now, I've been told the tales of my feats of heroism, adventure, and utterly selfless derring-do were spreading far and wide, arcing across the sky like lightning, rending the heavens in twain with their magnitude and ploughing into people's ears like a plough made of me being splendid. Now, the important thing is that I'm excellent, and everyone should know just how excellent I am. So in order to set yet more ears aquiver in anticipation of my every exploit, I would like you, specifically you, to tell your friends about how utterly super I am. Now, according to the technical busybods of Rusty Quill, and trust me, their bods are very busy, if you tell a friend about us and they subscribe to my tales of chivalric daring, then when they send us an email to mail@rustyquill.com with their name and the person who recommended it, they will have an episode dedicated to them. Now, I've no idea what that means, but it sounds jolly lovely. Anyway, once you've done all of that, all you need to do is pop the cash in non-consecutive bills into an envelope and send it along. What? What do you mean they don't have to pay? Oh, I am literally never. Don't. You test me, sir. Fine. Well, recommend us to your friends and don't pay us, and you still get your own episode. Now, if you'd excuse me, I have to have a serious chat with the underlings about the actual meaning of the word mercenary.
And welcome back. So, yeah. Dropping down in the really, really slow freight elevator. Oh, you've skipped to the light, slowly passing up your feet, up across your torso, across your eyes in a menacing, repeating pattern.
Sasha feels a lot more at home.
Who brought the orchestra? But yeah. Why are they playing such sinister music?
Lots of strings, slowly working their way up a very high scale. But yeah.
Right.
The
great.
Stops. And the door is still closed. It's not an automatic one. At which point, you're looking out into mostly darkness.
Bertie flicks on his little falcon light on his portal, so it's sort of...
Yeah, so a big sharp beam shoots out. You find yourself in a...
It's red light, just so we're aware.
I will grab one of the ever-burning torches out of our supply kit.
Sure. Presumably to use.
I will carry it.
Yeah. So with the lights, you see you're in a very simple foyer. Maybe 15 foot distance from you is a basic desk for probably an administrative person to sit at. There's an open door behind that. You hear a faint scratching.
Behind the door.
Off to the left extends as a very wide corridor and then takes an immediate right turn. To your right, there is a wide corridor that goes off and then takes an immediate left turn.
What is the door with scratching behind it made of?
Simple wood with a glass latticed work thing written on it, and it just has administration written on it.
Can it be seen through the glass bit?
All of you give me perception checks.
Oh, 20. A natural 20 from Bertie.
Goodness me.
Not one of those.
Okay. We'll go with the natural 20.
Yeah, I just got 19.
Bertie's the one who goes up the door and looks through it.
The door is ajar. You can't see through it, like it's just it's not possible to see through it. You do notice, however, when casting around, that the lights, the reason it's dark is it looks like someone's been physically pulling the lights out from the ceiling. Like chunks of plaster and stuff have been removed along with light fittings that are just dropped on the behind of the desk.
So the scratching wasn't coming from immediately behind the door?
It's certainly coming from that room. Right. But you can discern it's definitely not directly behind the door. It's not one of the things where you step through the door and something comes out from behind the door. Right. It's not like that.
Okay, in that case, Bertie shoves at the door, sword in hand, flashes the light around to sort of scan the room to see what's in there.
So he bursts through the door, slamming it over.
Bam! Slam! Bam! What? What's going on?
Finding an empty room with a half-eaten meal still left, starting to go a bit manky, with a chair pulled out and a gramophone that's just...
Ah!
Bertie hacks at the gramophone, outraged. A power attack on that...
Go
gramophone.
For it.
Two. Minus one.
Again,
is one.
Your inanimate object. You can't do it.
Plus your attack bonus.
Oh, plus my attack. Oh, yes, I plus my attack bonus. Yes,
I'm afraid the AC of the stationary gramophone is still higher. Yeah, you take a swing and just bury your bastard sword, which is too long, into the ceiling briefly and then and pull it back down with a little patina of dust.
Did you get it?
Yes!
There's still a
Mercy just quietly knocks it over onto the floor.
Right. So in there, yeah, there, it looks like there's a just a real basic canteen set up, barely made for like four people, a tea urn and some a washing up sink and just a few odds and ends, really. It's clearly just somewhere for people to go when they're off shift.
And is there any other exits?
There is only the exit that you came in from. Okay, so what do you do?
Boldly setting forward, our intrepid heroes travel down the left-hand corridor.
Bertie, stop talking so loudly. Things will hear us.
Our noblest hero was rudely interrupted by a really annoying lady voice.
I'm just saying, be a bit more cautious, because like, we can sneak onto things.
I'm with her.
His dramatic monologue barely silenced or interrupted by the chattering voices of naysayers around
him. It's really other people's job to write these stories, Bertie. We should just concentrate on accomplishing the great deeds of derring do and
without dying.
Later people.
You weren't like this about my novel.
Okay, so you head left, and heading along the corridor, you see yet more of the lights have been plucked out, and it is swelteringly hot. It's like steam moving in front of your eyes, hot down there. Really, really hot. And out of the sort of mist, you start to see another door, ajar, directly in front of you. Again, it seems like a small one, and it just says janitorial on it, same kind of door.
Why would all the lights have been taken out?
Some of the lights are dark. Yeah, dark.
Some sort of nocturnal monster, probably. Yeah.
So the monster took the lights out.
Yeah. I'm going to have my trident in a bracing position in case we're charged.
Sure.
Do you want to check
the door again,
maybe,
Bertie?
Like, just considering.
And everyone remembers
being in
just
the armour and all.
Look up occasionally.
Yeah. Our noble hero bravely volunteered to check the janitorial cupboard.
Why is this a new thing all of a sudden? Why is this now a thing?
Okay, so you're currently facing a janitorial door.
Yeah.
And as you sort of cross the corner and look to your right, you see there are two more doors leading off to the left, much larger ones, probably for the movement of freight.
Bertie leads over to the door, braces, gets ready, and pulls the door back while simultaneously raising his hand just in case.
And a mop falls forward and hits you on the face.
Ah, take that, mop! Attacks the mop.
Yeah, again, just a caretaker's cupboard, I'm afraid.
Ah, mops.
Well, you sure defeated the heck out of that mop.
Well, it's not getting up, is it?
That's
you told, I think.
I mean, it's definitely true.
It's important not to leave any potential threats behind us as we pass forward.
Everyone give me a perception check.
20.
Oh.
92.
10.
Zolf and Hamid, you simultaneously notice it looks like someone's messed around in there or something, and then as your eyes trace up after you've said make sure you keep looking up, you see that it looks like something's
Hamid's
torn through a vent.
Savvy.
Yeah, it is. You see something's torn through a vent and the metal appears to have just broken outwards and open and torn away from the ceiling. It's a small vent, certainly not big enough for a human.
Look up, guys. That's not good. Mm.
Does it look like it came down and
looks
out
like it came down,
this way? Yeah. It wasn't going up.
So, well, it could have gone back up through the hole it's already made.
Is there any kind of shape-shifting thing that could become a mop? So it's now...
Well, it's definitely dead if it is. But it attacks the mop just to be on the safe side. 4 plus 7, so it's 11.
I'll give you a few tries to kill it, and then the mimic comes
you
for
take
you.
Take 10.
No. I take 10 to destroy the mop.
Sure, that's fine. It takes a little while, but you manage to slowly just
slay the mop.
Slaying the mop.
Right.
We'll leave this bit out of the story. Anyway.
Yeah. No, please continue narrating yourself while you kill
a
mop.
Could we like get one of the smaller guys to maybe look up, maybe someone with a.
Looking around.
Smaller to see what's up in the vent, maybe.
You also see another door opposite the freight doors, a single one. Again, same kind of size as the caretaker and administrative kind of ones.
Well, let's just keep exploring.
Oh, I think we just
there's a lot of rooms to have a look at.
Yep, sure, fine. Hammer doesn't want to look.
We don't really have anything to gain by digging a head up there and get a face eaten off.
It is a little bit risky at this point when there are still other doors to check. Now, let's proceed down the corridor. Maybe we can have a look at this next one on the left.
Right. Together?
Yep. I'll take the far door.
Right.
You take the near door. And on three. One,
two,
three. Pull back doors.
And the first thing you see is a huge broken crate. Turns out there's a plinth. A sort of plain stone, wide plinth in the middle of the floor, and upon it is a large crate. The door to your right, so the one that you can't see, the side is out, you know, on the ground down. You see a crowbar is just flat on the ground beside it, but it looks like something's taken chunks out of the crate itself. There is something written on it in... What languages do you guys have?
I have Latin, Greek, and English.
Sign language and French and English.
Arabic, halfling, English, French, Czech.
Mm-hmm. English, Dwarven, and Ancient Greek.
Then just Bertie, you see basically there is a Latinate explanation, and just for the elitism of it, the whole explanation's written in Latinate too. It's not just the name. It's in academic, but you can still go across it.
Written in pure academic.
Pure academic. It can be only reasoned by the highest minds. But anyway, on the left-hand side, you see what looks like a basic lab setup. Large steel table, you know, conical flasks, Liebig condensers. That's what I remember from my GCSE chemistry. Just lots of glassware, effectively, and retort stands, things like that.
Science happened here.
Yes, it is. Directly on the far side of the crate, you can see just sort of amongst the dark glows and so on. It's wall to ceiling, and the ceilings here are high. Wall to ceiling in cages. Small ones, not huge. They're varying sizes. I mean, towards the far, far right-hand side, deep in the gloom, you see some larger ones, which seem, you know, intact, but it's mostly smaller ones. And I'd say that maybe 3/4 of them appear to have things broken out from them, and the remainder appear to have still forms in them. And looking around, you see there is a blood trail that leaves from in front of the crate out through a pair of double doors at the far side.
But it leads in a brief description. So what's this then?
Deadliest monsterous.
I'll paraphrase, but it's effectively plant unknown origin, found Peru, shipping time 3 to 6 weeks. Outset of voyage, mass 10 kilograms. Voyage end, it was something like 100 kilograms, and it's just listing various stats to do with it. Nothing that you can really make head nor tail of. You haven't got the education for it, really.
But the gist is, it got big.
Yeah.
So, plant from Peru, started tiny, now much bigger, about 100 kilos on arrival.
Right.
And then there's a trail of blood.
I can see that. Good. Brilliant.
Follow the blood.
Got any fire? Anyone?
I've got some bombs.
Okay, cool.
I can make some bombs. I was just, you know, I mean, I don't know if any of you noticed, but like, I picked up some of the stuff in the alchemist and I've been playing around with it.
Do you have any fire flasks left?
Oh,
maybe not from my end. I'll have a quick check in my bag.
Well, I've got a couple.
Oh, good. Brilliant. Yeah. Well, I might need those. And no, I didn't know you'd been working on bombs.
Yeah, so.
Oh, sorry. Probably time and place. But afterwards, we'll have a chat.
Yeah. They're really
do
fun.
We follow the trail of blood then?
I suppose so.
Okay.
Same again.
Ready?
I'm going to put this torch away because I want to have both hands on my crossbow.
Right. Torch might be more useful for a plant.
Ready? Three, two, one.
At which point, there is an enormously loud human sounding scream. Just sustained. Effectively like someone stood in front of your face and screaming as loud as it's possible for a human to scream. As you push the doors open, you expose a room of larger crates and so on, most of which appear to be sealed, and one of which at the far end appears to be broken, and there is a huge mushroom there. The second that you pushed open the doors, an enormous scream just starts erupting from that mushroom, and it just won't stop. Just as loud as you can stand.
I cast acid splash.
Sure. It starts to degrade and you just hear I assume you're just going to keep melting this.
Yep.
Yeah, it just stops screaming and then it just implodes and slowly collapses in on itself.
It's
just this
infinite number of times.
Yeah, and it collapses in on itself and then all is quiet again.
Well, that was deeply unsettling.
You know, until the chittering starts. Lots and lots of chittering. It starts small, just...
Are
and
we
then
fighting?
Spreads lots and lots and lots, and you hear lots of chittering.
Can I have perception
check for it.
All over the place? Okay, 16 plus 7. I can do maths. It's 23.
It appears to be coming from amongst the crates, behind you in the room that you just left, and in the room ahead.
Okay.
And is definitely, as you look around, you see a few more broken vents, and it's loudest coming from the vents.
Everything, something in the vents.
Okay, right.
A lot of things in the vents.
I'm going to
holster my trident and get my mace out because I think bonking is going to be better than poking with lots of small things.
I get a fire flask in one hand, but I keep a dagger in the other.
Actually, I am going to cast Spark on the mushroom.
Okay.
Because it is now assumedly dead.
Go for it.
Yeah, saving throw for 2d8.
Doesn't get a saving throw because it's dead.
Cool.
It also doesn't catch a light because the air is incredibly damp because it's incredibly hot and steamy, and it's a fungus. So it doesn't go up, it just goes...
Yeah.
That was your prep time, Bryn?
Yeah.
But that'll work better.
I'm just gripping my crossbow and trying not
30.
To shake.
I have my sword unsheathed, and that's about all I can really do to prep, I think.
Okay. At which point, huge amounts of small creatures burst from the vents, burst from amongst the crates, start darting through the door that's at the bottom and through the door that you came in, and just hordes of them. Loads and loads of chittering. And hundreds and hundreds of... Give me a perception roll to see what you're facing, given that it's dark and you're not paying attention and there's only one Bertie's light source.
17. 12. 16.
So
12,
16, 17. Yeah.
as numbers go, not the best.
I will give you tiny, vaguely humanoid forms that are barely as tall as your forearm, but hundreds and hundreds of them swarming down the walls, crawling in unnatural ways, crawling up across the ceiling. Everyone give me initiative rolls.
16, 15,
17.
Okay. Well, everyone's taking me initiative?
Yes.
Everyone knows what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
At which point? The first of the enemies start pouring over the walls. It's dark, you can't really tell what they are. Certainly they have vaguely humanoid forms and not more than that. They swarm out from the vent above the crates and swarm into the space here.
So they're still surrounded by the tiny things, but these things are bigger?
No, these are the tiny things, but they're humanoid tiny things. Right. All of these count as one thing.
Right.
They then move 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40.
That is unfortunate. For the listeners, that was on top of us.
So, yes, the swarm moves straight in through the vents, crawling over all of the crates, just moving rapidly, very, very rapidly, and move to occupy exactly all of the spaces that the party are. Apart from Brutor. Meanwhile, a second group burst out into the corner of the room that you just left. The movement of the swarm on top of the party was the first one.
Yep.
They then proceed to deal some damage to the party for sharing the space with them. They deal straight off the bat almost the max they could. 7 plus distraction. Distraction. Let's look that one up for everyone.
It's going to be an enemy of spellcast.
A creature can nauseate the creatures that it damages. Any creature that takes damage from a creature with a distraction ability is nauseated for one round. Fort save of 13.
Yeah, above or below.
Ha!
Fortitude save, I have 8 plus 6.
Who 14. Has made the 14?
I have.
Bertie has?
Nope.
Critical fail.
Okay.
Nope. I got 8. Nope.
Let's see what our fumble has. So, Zolf, the creatures swarm towards you. You immediately just start swinging wildly with your trident in an effort to keep them at bay.
Mace, sorry.
Keep swinging with your mace wildly to keep them at bay. At which point, you accidentally slam the door jamb, and you are going to be taking a -4 on attack with the mace specifically until you can basically get down and sort it out because it's jammed in and it's got hunks of wood attached to it and it's been ramped up. Meanwhile, everyone who failed it, you will be nauseated. Let's look that up.
Roast cold.
Creatures with the nauseated condition experience stomach distress. Nauseated creatures are unable to attack, cast spells, concentrate, or do anything else requiring attention. The only thing you can do is make single move actions.
Oh.
Pretty bad. Is throwing a bomb a move action?
No.
I could just drop it.
It's an attack.
Literally dropping it at my feet.
For the listeners, who is nauseated?
Everyone except Bert.
Yeah, Brutor has not made a save.
Brutor is not affected in any way whatsoever.
This is fun!
Brutor to the rescue!
What's
Save us all!
What's that, Brutor? They're all dead. Oh. They should have listened to me. Okay, Sasha, you're up.
I'm going to try and climb on top of the crate and maybe pull Hamid with me. I don't know if carry Zul.
I should spell out for these creatures. They do not get attacks of opportunity should you move away from them, or so you have sort of free movement out and away from them. And I would also chuck people down and strongly advise that you do not bunch up.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
That's cool.
We've learned that lesson.
Yeah.
So
okay.
You can't grab them because if you're nauseating, all you can do is move.
Okay.
Don't worry, I'll, you know.
You couldn't even climb. It's like, what it is that your character, everything that your character wants to do right now is vomit. So all you can do is sort of stagger off, desperately trying not to vomit. But it means you can't climb. Basically, what you have to do this round is you've got to reposition.
Fine, I'll just try and move away. How long will you stay moving?
One round.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Pat, every time we're attacked,
you
pass.
So you want to avoid being attacked? Yeah.
Yeah, good. Right.
Okay, so you've gone as far as you can and put your back to the wall with double doors either side of you.
Yeah.
Yep, that makes sense. At which point, Bertie, you're up.
Okay, so I'm the only unnauseated character.
Yes, you are. You're completely fine in every way apart from that you've taken a chunk of damage.
Yeah, so I suppose I start attacking them.
I should spell out that you can do as you will.
Yep.
What I would say is the reason that you're taking damage is this huge amount of them are just crawling all over you, sinking teeth in wherever they can,
right.
Scraping, scratching, gnawing. They are literally occupying that 10-foot by 10-foot cube,
yeah.
Almost 100%. Like, you can't even see, they're just clawing at you. And it's a case of, there are special effects. I don't mean like you'll die because you attack them, but all I would say is, because you've never played this game before, for this type of creature, it is much harder to get with normal attacks. So.
Right.
Things that have an area of effect or shatter and things like that. Those are your friends. Hacking at them with a great big sword, less effective. It will work because, you know, every time you take a swipe, you're hitting about 6 of them, but when there's 100, it's obviously less effective.
Okay, so is there any advantage in me moving out of the affected area?
Very, very much so.
Okay.
As a piece of advice, again, because you've never played, against swarms, you do not want to all be stood next to each other because it will just come for both of you and get both of you in a single turn.
Yeah.
It is something that is designed to make you split up. That's the point of swarms in a gameplay sense.
Right, so if I took a step to there, one space diagonally, would I then be able to, with my back, this crate here?
Yes.
Tap back?
Yeah, sure.
I will do that.
Go for it.
Is this, because of the swarm's nature, is it very...
It is of average toughness because basically all of the components within it are dodging to get out of the way. So it has less AC than you would expect for an equivalent creature, but not by a lot.
Okay.
They're basically just a bad day.
Right.
This is what these creatures are. They're a bad day.
Okay. In terms of the power attack, is that...
Yes. If you roll well, absolutely.
Right. I will power attack then in that case. So, roll attack. 6 + 6 = 12.
You do not hit. Effectively, they're swarming all over you. You manage to pull yourself out and swing wildly, and they just part to avoid the blade and then carry on, mainly swarming now on Zolf and Hamid. It's like half the time when they're trying to move, one of the other ones will grab them and pull them back into the pile, so it's a very, like, manic mess. Zolf.
I am going to run. Only standard move action.
You only have the one move action.
Right, so...
That's fine. So Zolf takes his 10 foot, basically.
Dropping a weapon is a free action?
Yes, it is.
Dropping
a weapon. Yep, that's fine. Hamid, you are currently the only one who's occupying a swarm.
Yes, I clearly move.
Yep.
I am going to move along the wall and head into the corner.
Okay, the second swarm. Moves down the line of cages very quickly, darting forward, just swarming over. It's more like a moving ball of creatures than anything else. And it swarms over Grutor, at which point, gets to deal its damage without attack roll, because it's a swarm. Grutor's down. Grutor is down. You just see him disappear. Just disappears beneath a mound of semi-humanoid creatures.
Oh, I suppose we're going to be first party death.
Oh, I hope not. You better save him.
Smoking
and I'm going to call it there for the episode.
No!
The party got dropped on. Brutor's in trouble. Everyone split up and nauseated. What will this mean? Tune in next week for yet more tales of horror, intrigue, and adventure, etc.
God, that is a long sign-off.
You really
overcompensated there.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Wow.
But yeah, thanks for listening. We look forward to...
See you again soon.
No, that would be way cool. Let's go with that.
Oh! We will, because we'll have to die in the next episode.
Oh,
so we'll see you.
A really short one next time.
Yeah. If you see a 2-minute upload,
then... Bye, guys.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Edit. Thank you.
Little present.
Thank you so much.
Little present.
Why? Why do you all hate me?
Wait.
I don't.
God, right.
I'm not thrust. A man, so it's fine. They're all disgusting.
Men are disgusting, it's true. And also so are disgusting girls. In fact, in my experience, just people.
Humans might be a group.
Meat robots.
Yeah. So, we good? We all ready? I can't say any more because of that's the way things roll, but I just thought you'd want to know.
Secret
wow,
podcast.
What a teaser.
I know. Yeah.
We've got the hardest thing to do is come up with titles for them.
I can
say. And therefore he can't announce the titles yet because they're still working on
one of them is say, just a woman reading numbers and touching chickens.
Okay, Bertie, is that, and that does that door open inwards or outwards?
Outwards, it's a jar.
Okay, fair enough. It's a door. Bertie.
No, Bertie.
Bertie. That was out of character.
No, James.
Okay.